Good morning. Welcome you this morning to a dining table and opportunity to share God's Word with you. My name is Steve Taylor, and very thankful for the privilege to be able to share with you God's Word, and I pray that it'll be a source of encouragement and a time of worship as we look at God's Word together for just a few moments. I have on my heart this morning a passage of Scripture that's found early in the book of Job. It's in the first chapter, Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. These verses have always meant a lot to me, and this past week it just seems like that it's laid heavy upon my heart, and I want to share my thoughts with you for just a few moments. Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, we read, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down to the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I pray that God will bless us for a few moments as we think upon these words that this dear saint spoke from the depth of his heart in a time that he was in the depth of grief and pain of heart, pain of mind. I want to kind of set the tone for what I want to say by sharing something with you that I experienced this past week. I heard a statement this week that had like I say, it's had such an impact upon my heart, but a very young member of a family became very sick and, of course, had to go to the hospital. But in that moment when of the unknown and not knowing what was taking place, what would be the outcome of it, the father of the child made a statement that really took hold of me. And that statement was, "When life presses you into the dust, worship God." And you think about that. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, worship comes freely and it comes easily when things are going well in our lives. When things happen that we are happy with. When things, results come out that give us relief and release us from things. It's very easy in that moment to express gratitude unto the Lord. Sometimes we forget to do that, though, don't we? But it's easy to express gratitude unto the Lord. It's easy at that moment to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, for he has given me such wonderfully great blessings." And we should. We should do that. But we learn a lesson here from this saint, this man called Job, saint of God, that when he was at the bottom, when he was at a time when it seemed that the saying would go that the whole world was against him, he did something that to me is outstanding, something that is very important for us to consider. And that is, when Job was pressed into the dust, he came out worshiping God. He came out expressing his love, his gratitude unto the Lord. You think about what had taken place. I'm just going to very quickly just kind of bring us to the point where Job expressed his love for the Lord. But Job had his oxen and asses, the donkeys, had been stolen. His servants who was trying to defend themselves were slain. The sheep that were in the field were killed by lightning. Camels were stolen. And then if that wasn't enough, a great wind, and I assume it was a tornado, came and destroyed the house. And when the house was destroyed, it fell upon his children, killing his children. Job had heard report after report after report after report after report. And everything that he heard just kept taking him further and further and further into the dust. Life was pressing against him. And when he was pressed into the dust, what did he do? Well, our text verse, verse 20 tells us, then Job arose. That word then is very important. It tells us that at that moment, at that time, after receiving all of these reports of devastation, that any one of them would have been hard to have received. But after receiving all of those things, then, at that moment, when he was at his lowest, then Job arose. Some might want to say that Job did this on his own. He picked himself up by the bootstraps and he just kept on going. But that's not what we're going to see in this passage of Scripture. But we are told that Job arose at that moment. Instead of allowing himself to remain in that place of despair, he began to focus his eyes and his heart and his mind upon the Lord. I think about this, and I remember a time when Peter and the disciples were in a ship in the storm, and they looked up and they saw Jesus walking toward them. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." And Jesus said, "It is I. Come." And Peter jumped out of the boat and he began walking toward Jesus. But at some point he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. Now what I'm getting at is this. When he began to sink, he said, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." And at that point, Jesus reached out his hand and he lifted Peter up and they walked back to the ship together. But can I tell you that there is a sense that when Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," that he was arising above that situation. He was arising above that sinking feeling of going under the water. He rose up in his heart and his mind and he cried out to the Lord. You know, if we're faced with all of these things that come upon us in life, and we fail to rise up to call upon the Lord, that is a rising up. Job arose. He arose above the situation, the circumstances of life. He arose above that to call out upon the Lord, to cry out unto the Lord. At that moment, when it would have been so easy to just lay there and feel sorry for himself and to ask the questions, "Why is this happening to me?" But rather than saying that, he arose above that. He rose above that situation. And then there was this process by which that he was turning to the Lord. He arose, then he rent his mantle or his garment, and he shaved his head, the covering of his head. He took it off and he tore it, which was an outward expression of the grief of his heart. He shaved his head to show that this had hit him in such a way that he himself and by himself was unable to overcome it. But in that expression of grief, he was rising up, even as he tore the mantle, the covering of his head, even as he shaved the hair from his head, that was that expression of grief. "I can't change what's taken place, but I'm going to rise up and I'm going to place my focus and place my attention not on myself but upon the Lord." So then Job arose, and then he rent his mantle and shaved his head, and then he fell down upon the ground. He humbled himself before the Lord. Some people might tend to try to stand in defiance of God, but Job arose, and the way that he arose was by falling to the ground and expressing his love for the Lord. He rose up above his circumstances. Again, some might say, well, he picked himself up in spite of everything. But I rather believe that God picked him up. that God reached down. Just as Jesus reached down and lifted Peter up out of the water, God reached down and was lifting Job up out of the dust. Now, I know you read on through the book of Job, and it takes a while for him to come to the end of all of the things that took him by surprise that day. But God is beginning that healing process even at this moment when Job expresses his grief, but also expresses his humility before God in falling down upon the ground. He was pressed into the dust, but he rose up and worshiped. Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground, and he worshiped, the expression of his love for the Lord. Listen to what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. In other words, he's saying, I came into this world with nothing, and I'm going to take nothing out of this world. Every blessing that I have is in store for my time here upon this earth. I didn't bring anything in. I'm not going to take anything out. God has blessed me with the things in this life that have been, I consider to be a great, great blessing upon me. Then he goes on to say, the Lord gave everything that you and I have. The Lord has given it to us. The Lord gave, and Job said, the Lord hath taken away. So now what's he going to do? What's he going to say next? Is he going to wallow in the mire of his grief, which I understand. I understand when grief overtakes us. I understand when sorrow and doubt and confusion and the storms of life sweep us off of our feet sometimes. But what is going to be our response? Are we going to rise above that as Job did? And certainly he did. He rose above that and he said, in spite of all of these things, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, his heart, his mind, his eyes were fixed upon God and not possessions. When we can rise above that, where that we are more concerned about our spiritual relationship with the Lord, our daily relationship, our daily walk, instead of the things of this life, the things of this world. When we can rise above that, then we are set in a position where that we can see a portion of God's glory, of His grace, of His mercy. The fact that as long as we have breath, God is not finished with us. He's still caring for us. He's still bringing us into a place of worship and praise and adoration. The Apostle Paul, as he began his letter to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that we have, whether it be material or whether it be our physical health, whether it be our emotional well-being, every spiritual blessing, our relationship with God, everything that we have that is good is a gift from God. Job recognized that God gives. He still gives today. He still gives that same Holy Spirit of worship and praise unto us, whereby that we can express and experience the closeness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Let me rephrase that, just as Paul put it. who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God is blessed no matter what's taking place in our life. No 15-minute segment of time in our life will take away the fact that God is blessed. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. God is great. God is good. Remember the little prayer we prayed as children for our blessing? God is great. God is good. Those two statements stand upon by themselves, not dependent upon anything else. But because He is great, because He is good, and He is gracious, He blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I thought back upon just a few instances in the Scripture where that God gave. God gave the blessing of Abraham. He gave it to Abraham. He gave it to Isaac. He gave it to Jacob, who later God would change his name to Israel. God gave the blessing of the inheritance of the people of Israel. God gave that. God gave Solomon his wisdom. God gave to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, He gave to them the knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and He put them in a place of favor with Nebuchadnezzar. To the church at Corinth, Paul said, I have planted and Apollos hath watered, but God gave the increase. It is God who gives to us. God gives us those things that we stand in need of. Job recognized that. The Lord gave, and He also has the power and the privilege and the right to take away. The Lord hath gave, the God taken away. Blessed. He was blessed when He was giving those blessings. He's blessed when He took them away. He gave to Job. He gave to Abraham. He gave to Solomon. He gave to the Hebrews. And He gives to you and me. But the greatest of all things that God has given, John 3:16. For God, who is blessed and holy and righteous and pure, for God so loved the world. How did He love the world? He loved the world so much that there was only one proper expression of that love that would show the depth of that love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His Son to us. John wrote in his first letter that to the church, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, he says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He sent, He gave His only begotten Son that you and I can experience. We can experience life, but we can experience a fullness of life, an abundance of life, an abundance of joy and peace and love, an abundance of those things that take us above the things, even when we're pressed into the dirt, into the dust, because of the trials and struggles of life. We still can worship Him, because though Job said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away, this that He has given to us, this life that is ours in Jesus Christ, will never be taken away. That He gave His only begotten Son, He sent Him into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. What is it for me to say I love God? I have nothing to offer Him but my praise. I have nothing to offer Him but my gratitude. What is it for me to say I love God? He's given me everything. He gave me His Son. And His Son took my sin and gave me His righteousness. I have every reason to say I love God. And the only reason that God has to say that He loves me is because God is love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent or gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means, to simply put it, it means that the debt of sin that was against us, the condemnation that was against us because of our sin, was satisfied because God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. The Lord hath given. He gave His Son. The Lord hath taken away. Through His Son, what did He take away from us? That condemnation. Oh, He's taken away that condemnation that was against us because of our sin. And He placed it upon the person of Jesus, the Son of Man. And Jesus died for our sins. And the Son of God came out of that grave alive. And because He lives, because He's given to us that everlasting life, that eternal life that is ours through the work of Jesus Christ, we can say from the depth of our hearts, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I pray this morning that as we think upon these things, we think upon the words of Job, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.